Brother David Youngblood, missionary to Alaska, our brother in Christ.
Thank you, Pastor.
Love you, preacher. Thank
you. Well, I say glory to God. Amen. It's good to be in His house tonight. Appreciate y'all allowing us to be here. Appreciate your pastor allowing us to come. And I love your pastor. I feel plumb inadequate and unworthy to stand here, but I'd much rather hear him preach tonight. He's one of my favorite preachers. And you all are blessed with a preacher of preachers. Amen. I hope you don't take him for granted. Amen. You ought to appreciate your pastor. If you don't, well, I love him. And has meant so much to me and my family and in our ministry since we've been serving the Lord, since we've been saved. God just has used Brother Pastor Darren in a mighty way in our lives. And I thank God for that. And I just want to testify of that tonight. But we were born and raised, me and my wife, and of course with Brother Darren too. We was raised up on Hooper's Creek, and I made a profession when I was a little boy, and made a profession there in church at the preacher's house one night, and just kind of got caught up in the feelings and based my life and my salvation upon that profession, and life went on, and I married my childhood sweetheart. And we've been married 26 years this June. Praise God for that. And we grew up and married and kind of got in and out of church and basing our life upon, you know, the things we had lived their lives in and in and out of church. But again, began to, see other people drawing closer to the Lord and see other people being used of God. And I began to just want to have some of that, you know, but I had doubts and fears and just wasn't sure, you know, what. If I was on my way to heaven or not. Every time the preacher would preach, I'd have a doubt or a fear, and I'd recommit, I'd rededicate, I'd go to the altar, you know, I'd do this and do that, but just couldn't have peace. Never got peace, and I was a church member, a deacon, singing in the choir, doing all the right things. I was religious. Yes. I mean, I was a good old boy, yeah. And I was religious and doing all the right things, But I just didn't have the peace that I needed to know that I was on my way to heaven. And it wasn't until March the 14th in the year 2000, I was able to go down to Myrtle, Mississippi, Camp Zion. And Estes Perkle preached on hell. And I got lost that night. And I can't explain it, but I've never been the same since that day. And he made a difference in my life. And I wanted to testify that to tell you tonight that, you know, you can die and go to hell being a church member. Being baptized and being religious and being in church and doing all the right things and making all the right moves, you can die and go to a devil's hell. Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance. I can testify that He's real. And He'll make a difference even in a good old boy's life. He'll make a difference in a wretchedest sinner in this world. Jesus is the one that makes a difference, and He's the only one that can help someone's life and make that difference. I answered a call to preach and surrendered my life to the Lord and started getting closer to God. And your pastor had a big part in me answering God's call. I got to testify this. He was preaching down at Friendship, and I was preaching Saturday nights down there. And I was attending there and going and just drawing closer to the Lord. And one night he preached in John chapter 6, and he was preaching on the lad, you know, and come across that verse 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And there was only about 12 people in that service tonight. And he had his finger pointed right at me. I mean, he was just preaching up a storm. You know, I know you know how he preaches. But boy, he had his finger in my heart. God had his finger in my heart. And I just, you know, God convicted me and called me right there. I was that lad. You know, I kept saying, what are they among so many? God was able to call me that night. I went back to Hooper's Creek and went by his dad's house, Pastor Roy's, and Pastor Roy had my name written down to preach that coming Wednesday night. And he knew it before I did, amen. But as just I could just go on and on about things God has done in my life and just miracles and things that God has blessed me and my family with. And we continued serving the Lord, and God gave me a church to pastor and pastor for about 4 years. And went to Anchor Baptist Church, became the principal of the academy there, and was felt led to be there. Was there for 4 years, and then Brother Ronnie Starr came through and wanted to take some men up to the Arctic of Alaska. I called it Operation Saturation. And I was able to go up June 2007, I was able to go up into Alaska and see the villages in Alaska. And God began to do a work in my heart. And I came back, and to make a long story short, God just done an unexplainable work in me and my family's heart. And we all got to go up there. And the Lord blessed and just moved. And we went up there with plans to come back in 9 months or a year. And we hadn't been back till now. And it's been 3 years we've been up there. And God just began to do a work, and we've seen the need in those remote villages. And I won't take time, away from the message here, but if you want to be turning to Luke chapter 4, I want to read verse 30 to you, and then we want to look at what God would have on our heart here. But we've got a display board out in the hall there. You can look at our ministry and be glad to answer questions if you have some questions about what we're doing. It's an interesting thing, an amazing thing. I shared with the Awonas out there how it's an adventure serving the Lord. It's exciting, and I just never dreamed that I'd get to go where I'm getting to go and do what we're getting to do. I tell you, God's good. Amen. He's just amazing. If you don't know Him tonight, I hope you come to know Him. I know no hands were raised for salvation, but if you're reconsidering or still questioning, please don't leave here unless you've done business with God. Because look at verse 30 in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, "But he," which is Jesus, "passing through the midst of them, went his way." What a sad sentence. What a sad story here. But I hope we'll want to look at this with God's help and look at why he went on his way. Jesus here is passing through the midst, and he went on his way, verse 30 tells us. The Bible says back up in verse 16, for sake of time, we'll just start right there. With God's help, expound here the story where Jesus has been going around in his earthly ministry. He's of age here and walking about. He's already performing miracles and doing great and mighty works. And people are hearing about Jesus and what he's doing. And his fame is being noised abroad here. And he's going from village to village just doing great things. And everybody's heard of it. And here he comes in verse 16 to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This was his hometown, amen? This was Jesus' hometown. He coming back to the village of Nazareth. And as his custom was, the Bible tells us that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So Jesus is doing what he always does on the Sabbath day. He goes into the synagogue, and here in verse 18 it says, in verse 17 he says, "There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now this gets my attention here, because it always amazes me, always has all my life, how that I know your pastor, he studies and labors over the Word of God, and God hones him in on the right place in the Word of God to preach to you. And most of the time, I hope you can say this, that you go out those doors and you say, boy, that was good. That's just exactly what I needed to hear. I mean, I wanted to hear it, but that's what I needed to hear. God just spoke to my heart through the man of God because he found the place in Scripture that you needed to hear. Jesus here has found the place that his hometown needed to hear. He's found the place that's going to get their attention and let them hear what they need to hear. Well, I'm so glad when the man of God finds the place. And this particular place here, of course, as we know it, is Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus has been handed here. I don't know if he asked for this particular book, but they brought him the book of Isaiah here. And he opened it up and found the place right there. We know it as Isaiah 61. And this is what he read. Verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministers and sat down. Now notice here, the Lord has read this portion of Scripture. This had been prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And here he's reading this book that his hometown had heard all their life, and they knew of the scriptures here, and they knew of Isaiah and the prophecy here of saying they would be one to come one of these days that would be doing this and be like this. And Jesus here has read that scripture, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them, look at that in verse 20, were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I mean, he's got their attention. They got their eyes on him. They're fastened on him, and they're fascinated with what they've heard. And Jesus says in verse 21, he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What a statement to say. What a statement to say that here this Jesus has come to his hometown here, and he's read this passage of scripture, and he found the place that they needed to hear, and now he's saying that he's fulfilled the passage right here before their very ears and before their very eyes. Do you realize what he's saying? Jesus saying, "I'm the one that the Spirit of the Lord is upon." He said, "I'm the one that is anointed to preach the gospel. I'm the one that's sent to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives. I'm the one that's going to recover the sight of the blind and has been setting at liberty them that are bruised. I'm the one that's been preaching the acceptable year of the Lord." But if you know Isaiah chapter 61, he stopped a little short of the passage, didn't he? Isaiah prophesied also. He says, "And the day a vengeance of our God." Jesus didn't read that part that day because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. Jesus knew exactly where to get to and where to preach to him here, and he's preaching his word. And can you just imagine the very word of God, reading the word of God? Amen. Can you just imagine that? God himself sitting down and reading his word. That's why they were fastened on him. This was an amazing event here. The very word of God has just read the very word of God. Amen. I can't explain that, but I believe it. Amen. But hey, what an amazing time here. He's fulfilled that passage of scripture and stopped just exactly where he needed to stop. And he was able to tell them that. And all bear him witness in verse 22 and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And here you have, look at the end of that sentence. It's got a question mark on it. Amen? That always draws a question mark, don't it? I mean, it gets our attention. That reminds me of Satan a lot of time questioning. And you know, first time we hear Satan, he said, "Yea, hath God said." He cast doubt upon God's word, questioned it. Well, here Jesus' hometown are saying, "Wait a minute, is not this Joseph's son? We watched this young man grow up here with his brothers and sisters. His mom and daddy raised him up here in Nazareth. He grew up and was in the carpenter shop. Is not this the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter's son? We watched him drive nails. We watched him live his life." And here he's saying that he's fulfilled this ancient prophecy of the scripture here. How can this be? They're amazed and they're wondering. They're fascinated here with what they've seen and what they've heard. What's going on here? They're questioning it. Well, verse 23 says, "And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And I'd be the same way. If I'd heard all that Jesus had been doing, and all the other villages and everywhere else, and here he is in his hometown, I would say, "Wow, you know, go ahead, Lord, do something. You know, just do something." And rightfully so. I'd want to see the Lord do something. I'd be fascinated with what's going on here. But he said, what did he say unto them? He said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." You know why? Because they questioned him. They thought they knew him. They thought that he was just like one of them, a sinner there. And just like all them other sinners, they thought he was one of them. They didn't realize that he was the Savior. The sinless, perfect Savior. And they thought they knew him, but they didn't. It reminds me, when I was pastoring a church, I worked at the Ag Center also, and my job was to go and get a crew of inmates. Every day I'd go out to the BCC and get the minimum security inmates. I didn't have to carry a gun or anything like that. And they, you know, just the good old boys there in the prison. And I'd go get them, bring them back to the Ag Center. We'd work all day. We'd eat, mow grass, and work, and I'd take them back. And so we spent about 2 hours a day on the road. And our van had a radio in it, And I come from Anchor Baptist there in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. So I don't know if you know the radio station WGCR, AM 720. That's where the dial stayed, amen, coming and going. I had a captive audience. They didn't have no choice. They had to hear it. We preached to them. We sing to them, coming and going, morning and evening. Well, one day I had some boys in there, and as a preacher preaching on the radio, I won't say who he was, but he was preaching at the 3 o'clock hour. Some of you probably know who he is, but he was preaching up a storm and said where he was from over here in Burnsville, as a matter of fact, and he got through and said, you know, this is so-and-so, and he's pastoring a church now, and one of the men mates in the back says, you mean that was so-and-so? He says, well, I grew up with him, and he's a preacher? You know, I said, yeah, he's pastoring a church. He said, there ain't no way. I know him. I grew up with him. There's no way he can pastor a church or even preach. How can that be? And he's a great man of God. And this inmate just didn't believe it. He had a question. He had unbelief. That's what the problem was here in Jesus' hometown. They just didn't believe. They were doubting. They had unbelief. You know, the scripture tells us in other places that Jesus did not many great works because of their what? Because of their unbelief. Oh my. Oh my. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. And verse 30 says he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. I don't want him to go on his way here tonight. I want him to find a place in your heart. If he's never abided in your heart, I want him to find a place of rest and place in your heart. And you accept him and let him save you if you're lost. It may be that you're a saint of God here tonight, a Christian already. It may be that you need to hear from him and get a little closer to him. But he could go and pass through our midst here and go on his way. Do you know that? He didn't have to stay. He didn't have to do this or do that according to our plans and our time limits, which I know I've got one here. I'll try to be conscious of that. But here we have Jesus is getting ready to explain to them what the problem was. Their unbelief. The reason they didn't believe. Because they have to act when God says to act. You've got to get a hold of this thing and realize that God loves you and God wants you to respond to His message and respond to His word. Jesus here is telling them that no prophet is accepted in his own country. But he says, but this is what he said in verse 25. He brings back to their remembrance two examples here in the Old Testament. Real quickly, we'll talk about these two. He goes back to the days of Elijah. And he says, verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And you probably know the story. If you don't, we'll talk about it here just for a few minutes. The widow woman down there in Sidon. But notice what Jesus said when he started this story. He said there were many widows in Israel. Israel is God's hometown. Amen. Israel, God's hometown. Jesus is saying there were many widows in Israel. But God is choosing to deal with this widow down in Sidon. A foreign country. Not God's hometown, but he goes down to Sidon. And there's a reason. We're going to see why here. There's a reason because this widow, you know the story. She was out at the gate gathering a couple of sticks. And she had a little meal in the bottom of the barrel and just a little oil in the cruse. And she was going to go home, bake that cake. And her and her son was going to eat that and die. I mean, times are hard. It's bad times. It's dried up and there's no hope around. And this is it. This is all they have. Elijah's back up at the brook Kereth. And it's dried up. The ravens have been bringing him meat and bread up there. And it's dried up. And God says, you go down to Sidon. And they said, what a woman down there going to sustain you and take care of you. You just go down there and you'll see her. And sure enough, Elijah obeys God. He goes down there and sees this widow woman, sure enough, picking up two sticks and going to bake her cake, and her and her son's going to eat it and die. And he sees her. He says, would you go and bring me a drink of water? Go get me a drink of water. And she just turned and went. She was going to get him a drink of water. And while she went, he stopped her. He says, whoa. He says, would you make me a morsel of bread too? Would you just make me a little morsel of bread? And that's when she turned and told him. He says, yeah, I will, but I'm going to take these two sticks and bake this cake with a little bit of meal and a cruse of oil. And then we're going to eat that. And I guess we'll die because that's it. But you know what she did? She did it. Amen. She didn't doubt it. She didn't question it. She went and did it. That's what Jesus is telling his hometown. God is looking for faith. Just somebody willing to do something. Amen. Just somebody willing to obey what God says and what God puts on their heart. Just be obedient. Just have faith. Because there were many widows in Israel. But evidently God didn't see the faith he was looking for. So he chose to go down to Sidon, that foreign country. God, you know what that tells me? It tells me God does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants.
Amen.
And he'll do just that. But you can count on this. Whenever he goes and wherever he goes, he's looking for faith.
Amen.
It's going to take faith. Because what does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
It's going to take faith. It's going to take that. Jesus' hometown here was lacking that. They had unbelief. They didn't understand. They were questioning it. Oh, let's look at the next story. Verse 27. Many lepers. You know this story probably. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha. We're fast forwarding here in time to Elisha's day. Jesus is reminding them of this great prophet. And in this day there were many lepers in Israel. God's hometown. God could have went to Israel, but he chose to go to another foreign country or a different state or across the street or whatever it was. But hey, he didn't go there in Israel. He went down to Syria and dealt with some folks down in Syria. You know the story in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. God healed that Syrian, a captain of the guard, a man high up on the chain, if you will. I mean, he's somebody. But there's one thing wrong. He's got leprosy. He's got a serious problem. And there's no cure for it. I mean, you're going to die. If you have leprosy, you're going to die with your skin rotting off your flesh. And you're going to die in a horrible death. And you're going to die, I mean, just in horrible pain and awful. That's just a picture and type of sin. You may not realize it now, but sin will cause you to rot from the bone. And oh, it's a horrible, putrid thing, this thing of sin in your life. And it's horrible. It's as the sin, leprosy. It's wickedness and it's awful. And it's a horrible thing. And there were many lepers in Israel, but God chose to go to Syria. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, I know this Naaman, I've heard of him. Best I remember, he didn't have a lot of faith, and he didn't to start with. I'll agree with you. You know the story. He was told to go down to the Jordan River and dip seven times in the Jordan River, and he didn't want to go do it, did he? He said, I ain't going down that nasty river. And I've got rivers in Syria that are much cleaner and much better. He didn't want to obey God. He doubted and questioned. So why did Jesus talk about this story? Well, I read it. 2 Kings chapter 5. If you ever have a question about God's Word, just read God's Word. Amen. It's a good book. And it's matter of fact, this is, like Brother Darren said, I mean, this is a living book. I love it when the words come off the pages and into my heart and begin to move my life and shape my life and change me and help me and help me to grow. That's what faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's going to take that faith to please God. So we're in the right place here tonight, aren't we, amen? We're in God's house listening to His Word already been expounded upon, and the truth has been made known here tonight, and we're just going to finish it up here listening to this story of this leper, Naaman. You know what was special about this story? The Bible tells us that his wife had a little maid that was an Israelite. She had been taken captive. This was the enemy, by the way. Syria was the enemy of Israel. God chose to go heal this enemy. Why? Because I believe because this little maid was down there helping Naaman's wife. And one day they were talking in the house and she told Naaman's wife, she said, would God that my Lord would get to the prophet in Syria. The man of God down there. If your husband would just go down there and he'd be all right. She had what? She had a little spark of faith. Amen. She just believed God. She just knew that God could heal him. God could do it just like that. She knew it. God used, I believe, her faith to allow that to happen. And Naaman, of course, he doubted and didn't want to do it to start with, but he eventually came around and said, yeah, his servant member told him, he says, if the man of God would ask you to do something great and big, wouldn't you have done it? And he says, well, yeah, I guess I would have. So he changes his mind and goes down the River Jordan. And on the seventh time, he come up clean, healed, a miracle. God chose to do that down there in Syria. Because there was faith, I believe, down there. One preacher said it this way. I like this example. You know, the Holy Ghost is real, and there's enough fuel in here. There's enough fuel in the houses of God across our country to ignite the whole world. But you know what? It's going to take a little spark of faith. It may be you here tonight that's got just a little spark of faith just to touch into the source here, amen. Get the Holy Ghost and let the source be ignited here. And there's no telling what God will do for you and with you and to you, amen. Hey, God is able to take you further than you ever dreamed or imagined. I can testify that. I mean, I'm living a dream here, and God has just been so good. But it's going to take more than fascination. Amen. I mean, I'm fascinated with what God's done in my life. I'm completely amazed and at wonder. But it's going to take more than that. His hometown had fascination. They were fascinated with the miracles and what was going on and what Jesus said He was going to do. It made them mad. We're going to read that here in just a minute. Hey, they were fascinated, but Jesus was looking for faith. Like the widow woman in Sidon, and like the little maid there in Syria. Naaman's wife's little maid there. Jesus is needing faith. And I hope you understand that faith is not just a blind leap out in the dark, amen. Hey, this thing is real. Jesus is real. If you're scared or afraid or maybe too much pride, whatever, to step out on faith, it's not a blind leap out there into nothing. Hey, you can step out upon the sure, solid rock. You can step out upon the Word of God and trust His Word. Don't trust anything I'm telling you tonight. It's what He has said. And He said if you'll trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all thy ways, He said He'd order your steps and direct your path. Jesus' Word is true. But Jesus is looking for faith here. And in His hometown, He said all they in the synagogue, after He went through these examples here and explained to them that they didn't have faith, but they had unbelief. They didn't believe, and God's going to choose to go where He wants, when He wants, and how He wants. That's what He's going to do. But He's looking for faith. But here, they got mad. All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. Hey, they wanted to kill Him. They were so mad they wanted to kill Him. His hometown, because they said, how can this man do that? How can He say these things? Here we are, His own people grew up with Him, and now He's saying that He's fulfilled this passage of Scripture like He's God or something. Hey, they just thought they knew Him. They didn't realize that He was God in the flesh. He's very God right there before them. And He's able to save them and able to heal them and able to preach the acceptable year of the Lord to them, set them at liberty that are bruised. He's able to continue doing that wherever He can find faith. So verse 30, what's it say? But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. We're back to that sad story. It's exciting, I know, to hear what God's done in the past. God did a great thing in Elijah's day. He did a great thing in Elisha's day. Hey, it's great and exciting and wonderful. It's fascinating to hear these old Bible stories and the truths of God's Word. But you know what? We're right here tonight. We're right here. You say, preacher, what does all this have to do with me? It's the same story. Jesus is looking for faith. Jesus needs faith. Jesus loves you. He loves me and you so much tonight. Do you realize how much He loves you? He loves you enough to die on the cross of Calvary. He literally gave His life. Literally gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary. Crying that the Lord would forgive them, for they know not what they do. He loves you so much that He died for you. Shed His blood on the cross of Calvary to provide forgiveness of your sins. Do you realize what a great thing it is to be forgiven? Oh my goodness, to be forgiven of your sins, to know that all that you've ever done in times past and today and anything in the future, it's under the blood if you're saved by God's grace. It's under the blood. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you have had faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary, that's the faith we're talking about. If you're lost here tonight, you don't have to step out on a blind leap of faith in the vanity and nothing. You can step out on the sure Word of God, believing that He died for your sins, and your sins can be forgiven, and you won't have to be in guilt or in shame for any of the rest of your life. It doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you and forgive you of all your unrighteousness. It's by His power and His greatness and His righteousness. He imputes it unto us and gives it to us. It's not by our works, lest we boast, but it's all Him, glory to God. He's able. He's able tonight. It's just going to take a little spark of faith. If you have just an inkling that God's dealing with your heart tonight, I mean just a nudge, if the Holy Ghost is nudging you just in the least bit, don't let Him go His way tonight. Don't let Him pass. He's here tonight. He was here before I ever got here. Amen. He's here right now, and He's in our midst. He's out yonder. He's everywhere. There's nowhere you can go that He's not. And He loves you. He died for you. And He wants you just to submit to Him. And just throw away the pride. Hey, just throw away whatever it is that's keeping you. Don't let the world keep you from having forgiveness of your sins. You don't realize what a peace that can be. What a glorious thing is forgiveness of your sins. It's real. It's real. But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. If you're lost here tonight, please don't let Him go through the midst here. Don't let Him go through here and not you open up your heart. It's going to take you raising up that foot, but not in blind leap of faith, but stepping upon the sure Word of God. Just trust in what He said. I mean, just trust and believe. It's just that simple. You know, we preach it. You know, it's as easy as sitting in this chair. You know, I know this chair will hold me up. And I you know, it's not going to fall. I had enough faith to sit down in it, but this chair can't save me. Amen. You're going to have to listen and understand and believe God's Word. You're going to have to trust in what God said and just step out and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You can save me. And I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. And I believe because of Your Word that You will, and accept it. And go on for God's glory and watch Him work. Just watch Him work and let that source of fuel just ignite and watch God work. If you're lost, don't let Him pass through our midst. If you're lost here tonight, don't let Him go on His way without finding a place to abide in your heart. And it may be, and I'm closing, I'm going to let Brother Darren come and close here. If you're a saint of God and you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt there's been an event in your life. By the way, if you don't have an event in your life where you know that Jesus saved you and you accepted Him, hey, you better make sure. I don't want to cast anybody to doubt any of their salvation, but you better have a Bible reason for knowing you're going to heaven. Amen. You better know for sure. I doubted all my life, but once I got saved, I haven't doubted since then, because I claim, He says, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out." And I'm going to trust what God said, and I'm believing that and going with God. But if you're a saint of God and you know that event has happened in your life, there's still plenty of fuel, amen. And He's still looking for those sparks. It may be that you come and got saved and you know you've been born again. But please, don't let Jesus pass through our midst here. He may be calling you for service. It may not just be salvation here tonight. It may be somebody, God's been dealing with your heart. God's you've been battling with God and doing, you know, business with God. Just go ahead and throw up the white flag and say, it's me, Lord, here am I. I don't know what it is or where it is, but I'm available wherever and whatever You want me to do. That's all He wants. He don't want your abilities. He just wants your availability. Amen. Just say, "Lord, it's me. I want to go for You." May be that He wants you to ignite that source of fuel so that you can serve Him and let your faith grow. Grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like we raise our children, but grow in the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but grow in the Holy Ghost and grow in maturity and be able to start taking on the meat of the Word and be able to teach others and preach to others and lead others to be saved. Amen. What a glorious thing it is to surrender, to serve Him. Oh, what a day it was when I got saved. But hey, it got exciting when I decided I finally throwed the white flag up and said, "I want to serve You, Lord. whatever it takes, wherever you want us to go, I'll do it. Oh, it was an exciting time. And He can do that for you. Brother Darren, you come and close out the service. But don't let Jesus pass through our midst here tonight and go on His way. My.